In his latest article, Brent Gardner-Smith, editor of Aspen Journalism, who's collaborating with Aspen Daily News on coverage of water and rivers, digs into the study underway at the Colorado River District about Lake Powell and the Glen Canyon Dam. Thanks for speaking to KD&K, Brent.
Oh, you're welcome.
We've had average precipitation in Colorado over the past 3 years, but what do we know about water flows into Lake Powell across a longer time period?
Well, the Bureau of Reclamation and others that have been looking at the flows into Lake Powell say we're basically looking at some of the lowest flows into the reservoir over the last 16 years since the reservoir was built. So it doesn't really feel like it in Colorado because it's so green, but basically we're in the middle of a 15-year drought that has been reducing flows into the reservoir.
So some would say Lake Powell is half full. Some would say it's half empty. If Lake Powell drops too low, what happens?
There's two key levels that people are concerned about, and perhaps the most important one is what they call a minimum power pool, that when the reservoir drops to a certain level, they can't make hydropower, and they can't effectively get enough water out of the reservoir to meet their downstream obligations. And so once it reaches minimum power pool, it's ugly for a couple of different reasons, and a lot of people are working to try and avoid getting to that level.
So one thing that could happen is it could prevent production of over $100 million worth of electricity at Glen Canyon Dam, and Aspen and Glenwood Springs are among the buyers of that hydropower.
It's not entirely clear what the real downside to that is. On the one hand, it's definitely a chunk of money that goes to fund different projects, including the Endangered Fish Recovery Program. So it's obviously an important source of revenue. But whether it will really spike electricity prices for customers like Aspen and Glenwood Springs and other municipalities isn't as clear.
And then talk about a compact call, because that could affect Trans Mountain diversions.
The compact call is always looming out there as the biggest fear in Colorado water. It's sort of the nuclear bomb of Colorado water. No one really wants to see that happen, and no one really knows exactly how it might unfold. So the mindset is, let's do everything we can to avoid a compact call by getting enough water to Lake Powell to keep it functioning.
So what options are there in the upper basin to keep Lake Powell operational if severe drought strikes again as it did last decade?
Well, I guess there's three options that they're looking at. One is trying to make more water by cloud seeding and augmenting snowfall, and that's having some positive impact, but not to a large degree. The other is to pay people to leave water in the river, and that's a program that is often called water banking or other terms, but the idea is, can we get more water to Lake Powell by paying people not to divert water, by fallowing their fields and not using as much water? So that's one big option. Another option is to release water out of the upstream reservoirs of Lake Powell. There's several big buckets in the system, Flaming Gorge, the Blue Mesa Reservoir, and Navajo Reservoir on the San Juan. So you can release water from those big buckets to try and fill up Lake Powell. That'll get you through maybe 1 or 2 years of a drought, but beyond that, it's not going to help that much, they say.
Well, I'm also pretty curious about what Eric Kuhn from the Colorado River District told you. What did he mean when he said he isn't using climate change hydrology in his recent presentations about the Colorado River District study, quote, because it just scares everybody? It scared me.
Well, I think what Eric's trying to say is this model is looking at, well, okay, what happens if we get a drought or some flavor of drought that we've had over the last 25 years when Lake Powell is half full? What will that do? And I think what Eric is saying is, that's pretty scary, but if you do add some of the more drastic scenarios with climate change on top of that, it just makes the picture look more dismal. And I think because some of the climate scenarios are still uncertain, I think Eric's point is, you know, it's bad enough just to talk about normal drought, never mind a drought that's on steroids because of climate change. So for his purposes and to trying to bring this discussion forward, just talking about the droughts that we've seen in the last 25 years without one being on steroids due to climate change is enough for his purposes at this point to get discussions going about how we keep enough water in Powell.
The other issue is, what about future demand for water?
Right. Well, demands are expected to grow, not shrink, clearly. And so that's what Eric is also saying, is that future demands matter. And his real point is, you can't just keep developing water into the future without paying attention to, hey, if we don't keep this central bucket full enough, we're going to run into trouble. So do we really have enough water to develop? Now, that's a big question, obviously, that divides the East Slope and the West Slope, because most of the growth would occur on the East Slope. People on the East Slope tend to look at the West Slope and say, well, we think there's enough water to meet our needs. I think Eric's point is, well, that may be, but not also if you want to keep Lake Powell operational. And the Front Range has a real stake in keeping Lake Powell operational as well.
Brent Gardner-Smith is editor of Aspen Journalism in collaboration with Aspen Daily News on coverage of water and rivers. We'll link to his latest at kdnk.org. Thanks so much for speaking to KDNK.
Thanks, Kevin. I really appreciate the station's interest in this topic.